Caleb Collier says that this proposal is meant to protect their Second Amendment rights.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city. Today on Church and State, if politics is downstream of culture, then Christians should be upstream of culture. Hello, Christian patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier, your favorite far-right shock jock. Today's going to be a very serious episode, and while I typically operate as more of the state side of this show, I think I'm going to be more of a pastor today, so stay tuned for that. Before I get there, head on over to churchandstate.media. Once again, this is where you're going to be able to download all of our shows, check out all of our content, share it with people. Please continue to do that. Also, it's where you can see all of our fine affiliates, which, of course, when you buy a product from all of them, they give a little bit of money to us. So it's definitely one of the ways that you can keep us on the air. Gabe and I have talked about the fact that this ministry is expensive. Doing a show where you are on 5 days a week on terrestrial radio on the American Christian Network, as well as putting all of this up on Facebook and Rumble. I almost said YouTube. We're not on YouTube. Thanks, YouTube. It costs a lot of money. And, I'll tell you, as a ministry, and I think a lot of ministry leaders can tell you this, you don't make money doing it. So I'm definitely not raking in the bucks doing this show. So if you like it, if you love the content, please consider buying one of these fine products. Use those promo codes, Church and State, for most of those links. You can also donate directly to our show. I would, really appreciate that as well. You can either do it with cash, or you can do it with Bitcoin. So if you want to send us anything like that, please do. Lastly, if you want to contact us, churchandstate1776 at proton.me. All right, I began with this show with a statement. I was thinking about it because, as most of you know, I'm a former politician. But don't worry, I'm self-loathing. But as a politician, I heard constantly that politics was downstream of culture. And so the astute politician, or so it's viewed in the political world, is an individual who understands culture and sways and bends according to the cultural needs. Now, I didn't last very long as a politician, and maybe it's because I had a firm grounding in things that were constitutional and things that were biblical. You see, I wouldn't sacrifice my moral compass in order to win elections. And I took hard stands that people told me, if you do this, you're not going to get reelected. So be it. I would rather stand for what I know is true than to just retain power. And honestly, it's almost like Star Wars. You strike me down, I became more powerful. And I say that because as a city council member, I had a position of power over 90,000 residents, maybe, give or take. And now, doing what I do with the broadcast, as well as working for TPUSA Faith, I have influence over many, many more. And so that's been a pleasant surprise for me as I submitted to God's will in my life instead of what humanity said I should have been doing. But let's just examine what currently culture and therefore, politicians should be encouraging, or at least submitting to, in order to win their elections. When you look at the current system that we have, does it not seem a tad haywire? You look at the Democrats in particular, I mean, they've got all of these different things that they're consistently pushing upon us. And they're feeding their base, and their base is getting more rabid. And they can't back down from it now. And so you've got things like America is systemically racist. You've got things like climate change, and we're all, as humanity, killing the earth, and we've got to fully embrace the green movement. You've got ideas that you need to tax the rich, that you need to declare housing a right, right? You need to raise taxes, Medicare for all, cut the police, gun control, all of these things. You got drag queen story hour. You got porn being peddled in our so-called public education systems. And every single one of these Democrats can't say a thing against it, because otherwise their rabid base will quickly remove them from their position. And so you're going to see a lot of politicians without backbones on the Democrat side of things that are just going to submit to this. Now, don't think I'm giving the Republican Party a pass, because I'm not. Here we go. The Republican Party as well has fallen prey to this mindset. And in their case, it's a mindset of moderation. You see, as the Republicans, we want to be the people that are loving, and we're not opposed to all of these behaviors that culturally we say are okay. We can't stand firm on the preservation of life. No, there are certain exceptions for that. Common sense gun laws, of course, are on the table here. When you have Joe Biden saying that nobody needs an assault rifle, and the Republican Party answers back with, well, maybe we should increase the background checks, and maybe we should limit the amount of bullets that are able to be placed in a magazine. You see how that compromise is a direct result of culture. Because the mainstream media is, of course, doing a wonderful job in pushing back or pushing their narrative to where every single school shooting is a tragedy. And of course, they are tragedies. But it's not about the fact that we need to remove the guns. No, in fact, an armed school would be a school that would be safe. Why do you think it is that nobody ever really robs a gun store? In fact, I saw a video where one criminal who won the Darwin Award tried to do that. He got lit up by not only the owner of the store, but also pretty much every single person that was shopping there. Dumb move, criminal. You see, the Republican Party, unfortunately, is bending also to culture. And it's because they also want to retain their positions of power. Power corrupts. We are told that. And when you really ask somebody what they would, especially at this elite level, if they'd rather have money or power, the answer is always going to be power. Money comes after power. It's the power that is the drug that is coursing through the veins of every single politician throughout this country. So I wanted to offer a biblical backing for why we must demand better from our politicians. I said if culture is downstream of politics, then Christians should be upstream of culture. That's what I would expect from sound Christians. That's what I would expect from shepherds, is that pastors and Christians all across this country need to be standing firm in what God says, not what man says, not what culture says. So let's just examine some of the things that currently, culturally, are accepted that fly in the face of what God has designed for us. And I'm going to go right into the beginning with life. Now, life should be a fairly easy one for most Christians. We know that life is a precious gift from God. And we know that in our spirit, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we can sense that. We can tell that something is terribly wrong about this act of murdering children inside the womb. But what does the Word of God says? There are many cases, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You see, there's so many, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but every single one of these, Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. And that's not kill necessarily, murder. That's an act. You commit the act first mentally. You plan this, you plot this to commit murder. But there's so many passages within the Bible, both Old and New Testament, that show us without a shadow of a doubt that yes, life is precious. And so we, as followers of Christ, must protect this at all costs. Moving on from there, and you'll notice a theme as far as the Constitution goes, we have liberty. Liberty is something that God gave to every single individual. and yet is currently under attack constantly by the left, by culture. Ideas that you may not be as free as you think. I mean, we currently have Donald Trump and a number of his individuals that were associated with him that got thrown in jail. Now, they made bail right away, but they've been prosecuted. For what? What? For a weaponized alphabet organization? That our election process is not safe, is not secure? Liberty is something that even if you don't agree with somebody, what somebody is saying, you still defend them. Their right to be able to say it. Freedom of speech is something that is so precious, and the rest of the world yearns for that ability. And yet we as Americans, we just toss it away. We don't even consider it or value it. Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Galatians 5:1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." This is something that the ancient Israelites struggled with as they were wandering through the desert. They were complaining and complaining, and this is why almost none of them were able to see the promised land. But they literally wanted to return back to the yoke of slavery of Egypt, because at least they had meat there. At least they were looking at freedom of, it was a misplaced freedom. But they were looking at the fact that they had a shelter. Now, they worked 7 days a week. They had no rights. But they were tired of wandering through the desert, eating this heavenly manna and quail. No, let's return to Egypt. See, when you are free, you don't yearn to return to your life as a slave. And yet so many of the policies that are being enacted in our culture as of late strip away these individual liberties and make it to where you are beholden to the government for all things. So why this song by Oliver Anthony has become the number one song in America. It's the number one downloaded song. Rich Men from North Virginia. And he has statements in that song where he's talking about, he's looking around at his neighbors who he would hope would rise up against this elite class that cares nothing for the plight of your average American citizen. And as he looks around, he sees a bunch of slaves. He sees a bunch of obese people, too fat and happy on the government teat to ever oppose it. Freedom is difficult. It's hard. It takes action. It takes work. But we're called to be free. And it's freedom from sin, absolutely. But it's freedom from oppression as well. There's a reason why America has been so blessed for so many years. And a lot of it had to do with our freedom. Freedom for every individual. As we move further away from that, we can't expect a blessing. We can expect a curse. How about property rights? Property rights are an essential thing throughout the reading of the scripture. And yet culturally, we're being told, you don't own that. Culturally, we're being told, you don't own your house. Even if you pay it off, you still got to pay the taxes on it. They've invented taxes that are positively ludicrous. A death tax? You don't have to pay a tax for dying? The government will tax anything and everything that they can. They're telling you that you don't have the right to defend your property. They're claiming that it's not acceptable that some would be able to own a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house while others languish in the streets. Well, whose fault is that? It's the fault of the mentality of those who refuse to work. But it's also the fault of the government, who has enacted so many policies that they make it impossible to actually be successful in this world. Exodus 22 is probably the most popular, most famous of all of our scriptures when we actually look at private property rights. It starts off, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills or sells it, he shall make restitution, or 5 oxen for an ox or 4 sheep for a sheep. Exodus 22:2 is another very interesting one that'll come into play in just a minute. But if a thief is caught breaking in after dark and is struck by the owner so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen, there will be blood guilt for him. The thief, if he lives, must make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold as a slave to market to make restitution for his theft. It's an interesting passage and one that we probably don't read enough, because I'm going to transition over to self-defense. You see, most of the what I just brought up, life, liberty, property, most Christians would say absolutely. And they'd be willing to take a bold stand as Christians against government overreach that violates these principles. But a lot of Christians struggle when it comes to self-defense. There's a lot of Christians that will quote scripture, in my belief, out of context, where they make us out to be all pacifists. It's not the case. The Bible has clear passages that show that, yes, indeed, we are supposed, or we have that right, that natural right to self-defense. When Peter sends his apostles out into the world, he tells them to sell their cloak and buy a sword, because Jesus knew that they would be attacked. Many will say, well, hold on a minute. Right after that, Peter cuts the ear off of a centurion, and Jesus rebukes him and heals the man whose ear was cut off. Why did he do that? Why? Because Peter engaged in an act of violence? He was rebuking the violence? No, it's because Peter stepped out of God's will. Jesus had told his disciples that this would occur, that he would be arrested, that he would be tried, that he would be murdered. So Peter trying to get in the way of that was the reason for the rebuke. Jesus Christ, the word of God, is consistent. So Jesus is not going to tell his disciples to buy a sword for what? For decoration? What is the purpose of a sword? It's to secure your right to self-defense, as is every other weapon. Returning back to Exodus 22:2, I want to break this down for our audience. You see, if a thief breaks into your house at night, God in all of his wisdom recognizes that you're probably going to be a little bit out of it. You're going to be disoriented and confused, waking out of a slumber to find somebody in your house. And so if you act in self-defense and strike him and kill him, you're in the clear. There's no blood guilt upon you. But during the daytime hours, if you come into your house and discover a thief in there, then killing him should be your last option. You should try to subdue. You should try to run them out. You see, God is perfect in this, understanding our human nature, setting up laws to where murder's the last option, but yes, you have the right to defend private property, and you have the right to defend your life. So many Christians that I speak to don't understand this principle. We're not supposed to just humbly submit, even unto death. When somebody comes into your house, or somebody's coming after your family, defend them. The Bible is on your side, and every moral law should ensure that you aren't prosecuted for this. Let's move on to a little bit even more difficult subject. How about vaccines? Can we defend our right to not take vaccines as Christians? I would say yes. See, there's an interesting translation in most of our Bibles. It's three times this word is used in the Bible, once in Galatians, twice in Revelation. The word is pharmakia. Now, most of our modern translations have taken this and changed the word, in a lot of cases, for sure, to more of a sorcery. But pharmakia was the idea that you could use drugs in order to practice the black arts. Many of these heathens would use different types of medications or drugs in order to achieve some sort of nirvana or in order to engage in occult practices. And it continues on to this day. But couldn't we make the argument that because of what we know specifically about the COVID vaccine, that there's a dark undertone behind it, that there are individuals who have used the so-called vaccine to harm society? We know as Christians that we have bodily autonomy, and it's acceptable for us to disagree with what the government is telling us, or what the doctors, or what science is telling us. Pharmakia in Revelation, in fact, let me go there right now. In this Revelation passage, it's Revelation 18:23. And, oh my goodness, I lost it. Chris, do you have it up there? And I can't even read from that far away. Well, let me just find it. But basically, there's a warning that it will... Oh, there we go. Thank you, Chris. And never again will the light of the lamp shine in you, and never again will the voice of the bridegroom and the bride be heard in you. For your merchants were the great and prominent men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived and misled by your sorcery, or pharmakia, your magic spells and poisonous charm. All the nations were deceived and misled by your pharmakia. It's an interesting statement, especially considering that it's coming from a book that describes a future that we have not yet seen. Were we all deceived? Were most nations throughout the world, most people groups throughout the world, were they deceived during the so-called pandemic? I think your average, just your individual who has average intelligence, should be able to see that, especially since so much of the proof has come out as of late. So yes, Christian, you do have the right, both just a natural right and through the word of God, to reject pharmakia and to understand it for what it is. There's a reason why pharmakia is associated with sorcery. Think about all of the illicit drugs out there. Think of all of even the prescribed drugs that are out there. Look at their side effects. Look at what they're doing to God's temple, which is what our bodies are. Think about all these individuals, cultures around the world that use hallucinogens in order to connect with their spirit guides. Pharmakia is dangerous. Vaccines are dangerous. And so as Christians, especially as we move in the Holy Spirit, we should be able to see and decipher that no, I'm going to reject this. And I'm biblically astute enough to back it up with the word of God. You see, it's not enough for the left, for culture, as we move further to the left, to just allow you to live the way that you want to. something that conservatives generally appreciate, but not the case for the left, and even not the case for the moderates. Once again, because they need to retain their power. And so when you examine all of these ideas, these beliefs in liberty and life and property, self-defense, pharmakia, and then you look to the Bible of the left, i.e. the Communist Manifesto, you can see that these two ideas, they can't coexist. So one's going to win. Really, it determines, it's up to you. You're the ones who determine whether or not it's our side, or perhaps I should say God's side, that's going to win in the culture. Now, God wins ultimately regardless of what we do. But shouldn't we live believing that what he said, what his written word teaches us, shouldn't we live that way? Shouldn't we demand from our politicians that no, you will abide by what historically and throughout societies, cultures have always led to prosperity? Are we just going to accept politicians, both on the left and the right, who simply want to retain their power and will move any direction so long as the majority, or perhaps the loudest in the culture, demand what they want? I would hope, especially as we're in the election time, that you Christians would demand people of conviction, of a high moral standard, and not simply fall prey to this idea that this politician's better than that politician. I don't like politician A all that much, but politician B, whew, they're a nut job. Perhaps in this world, or perhaps in America, we're going to see a time where we need to hurt a little bit more. Perhaps that's what will get us ready for true, biblically based leaders throughout our land to push back against this current Marxist globalist agenda. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church and the Constitution Party, empowering you to put faith into action. And with that, Church and State is out.
Welcome to the fire.